And turn to Luke chapter 10, if you will. Miss Janice, would you be able to just kind of man the welcome desk for the few folks to pick up some tickets afterwards? Because I don't think we have anybody else here to man the desk. But you got the key. You can get the key open there. And I have tickets for Miss Brenda, Miss Judy up here. I've got yours right here with me. So you can see me. And I think Miss Christine's back there. And there should be one left over, which I need for me. Okay. All righty. Luke chapter 10. Anybody need a worksheet? Didn't get a worksheet? Just raise your hand. Anybody? Miss getting a worksheet? No? All right. Very good. That's Luke chapter 10. Very familiar passage. Very familiar passage. And, you know, a lot of these passages, you could, you know, there's so many sermons out of a piece of Scripture, and you could stay there forever, and sometimes you think I am staying there forever, but there's so much in there. I guess I'm one of these. I like to milk it for all it's worth, and sometimes you got to be careful with that. But somebody will take a piece of Scripture, and I've had people say, "Well, I heard somebody preach on that, and they said so and so and so and so." Well, that's true. Well, I heard someone else preach on it, and they said so and so and so and so about that piece of Scripture. That's true. And there's a lot of things you can learn. You could kind of be here forever. But Lord kind of spoke to me on one particular account here in this passage. And so, very familiar passage, Luke chapter 10. This is another little passage that's only in Luke. This little story, this little account is only in Luke. And of course, there again, Luke talks about interpersonal relationships. He's talking about God, Jesus being the Son of Man, feeling what we feel, entering into the lives of people. Very much down where the rubber meets the road, just really real life. And this is one of those little, I guess the word's homely, down-to-earth little accounts that kind of hits us right where we are. Luke chapter 10, verse number 38, says, "And now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Let's pray, and I just want to share some thoughts with you here this evening on a balanced ministry. A balanced ministry. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the stories and the accounts that just makes it so clear. And Lord, I thank you for speaking to our hearts. And Lord, you said that we're supposed to get saved, and then in the process, we're supposed to teach all things whatsoever you have commanded us to observe all things. Pray, Lord, that you'll help us to observe some things here. Again, help us to look into the mirror of your word and not walk away being forgetful here. So Lord, I pray that you'll help me to be a blessing to the folks. And Lord, we thank you so much for our servants. We thank you so much for the folks who serve week after week faithfully. Yeah, what a wonderful thing. Couldn't do it without them. And Lord, we also thank you for your presence in our life. So Lord, we ask for your spirit to move here this evening and fine-tune us a little bit. Make sure that we're balanced in our ministry. And we'll give praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. God knows our needs. God knows what we have need of, and he knows that they need to be tended to. But God is also not here to just use us, but to bring us life. I think you understand here as I get into this message. On the other hand, we're not here to just sit and be idle, but to serve the Lord. Either way, the balance is the question, do we know the Lord? See, that's the balance. There's some who serve and serve and serve, and some who sit and sit and sit. There's a balance. I was talking to a young couple that recently visited here last night, and we got into this topic, and I've said here I like folks to be involved in reasonable amounts of work, service in the church. And if you've heard me say this, you know the next statement is, what's reasonable for one person isn't necessarily reasonable for another person. What's reasonable right now in the stage of life where you are may not be reasonable later. There may be some things you can do now you've never been able to do. There's some things maybe you can't do right now that you used to do. Now, I'm not talking about being lazy. I'm not talking about getting their feelings hurt and stopping. I'm not talking about those kind of things. I'm talking about reality. You know, sometimes people say, well, if I stop working, everybody's going to look down their nose at me. Well, I don't know. Is there a reason for them to? Or are you stopping for the right reason? I remember I've said this too before, but, you know, when John and I first got married, we served in the church. I mean, we served, and we weren't on staff or anything. We just served and served and liked serving. And we were married 4.5 years before we had our first kid. And we had a good time serving. But then once he came along, things changed a little bit. And then Esther came. Well, why? She just started. We used to talk about her. She was Esthering. It was just being Esther. She was Esther, kind of like Joanna. Very much like Joanna. Joanna just kind of runs the place. You know, she just walks around and shakes everybody's hand. She's just doing her thing, and that's the way Esther was. And there came a time when she couldn't do everything she was doing. It wasn't wrong. She's a mother. The fact is, somebody needs to take care of the kids. Now, if she wasn't going to do it, I was going to have to do it, right? I know it sounds bad, but the fact is, you know, I mean, that's the truth. Somebody's going to have to do it. She's a whole lot better at it than I am. And so, but then life came, and then there was times we had 4 kids, and something would happen. The pastor would say, we ought to do so and so and so and so. And she said, well, I ought to do that. Don't you think I ought to do that? Somebody ought to do that. I said, I know, but you're still in the minivan stage of life. We still got a car full of kids. We were already going to the early service. We were going in time to practice with the choir, sing, do the music with the early service, stay for Sunday school, do the music and stay for the late service, come back for choir practice in the evening, and then do church in the evening. That was a good bit. And she was directing the children's choir, and she was trying to teach a Sunday school class, and, you know, all these things. And, well, no one else is saying they're going to do it. Shouldn't somebody do it? I'll do it. After a while, you get to the point where I'm going to tell on her. She get a little exasperated. Every once in a while, I'd come home and she was just crying because she had so much to do and just couldn't get it all done and thought somebody needs it. She still drives herself, but it was worse when you had 4 kids. Balance in ministry is very important. Do you realize that this church would go on without me? I'm a shovel full of dirt that's filling a hole right now. One of these days, I won't be here. Lord willing, as far as I know, it's not anytime soon. But one of these days, there's going to be another shovel full of dirt that's going to fill this hole. We're not indispensable. We're not irreplaceable. God, what God wants is the same thing for a servant as he wants for everybody else, a relationship with that person. Now, there's times when he wants us to have that relationship in the midst of the serving. And there's sometimes he wants us to have that relationship in the midst of the sitting. And most times, it's a combination. Let's talk here. Number one, in your paper, and I put it in quotes, a servant of the Savior may be a servant of self. S-E-L-F. Sometimes a servant of the Savior is not really a servant of the Savior. It's a servant of self. Look at the first verse there, verse 38. It says, now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Now, this is very interesting because this was a very patriarchal society. Women don't own houses, men own houses. You know what I'm saying? The way they were looking at it here. But Martha had a house. Now, there's a lot of speculation. I'm not going to get into that because we won't really have time for it. But apparently she considered this her house, and maybe very well was. Now, the word Martha means mistress. Now, in our society, a mistress tends to mean something different than it really means. The mistress, like the miss, means the lady of the house. It means the woman who governs. It means a female head of the house. Martha was the mistress. She ran the place. She received Jesus into her house. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but it does kind of set up a certain air about the story. Now, see, Martha is a go-getter. She's one of those folks who's a good servant. There's nothing wrong with a servant. We need servants. And really, she wasn't doing anything that was beyond what she could be doing. She is a take-charge type of person. And there's nothing wrong with that within the place, and they've been given that response. There's nothing wrong with that. She sees a need. She sees a need, and she seeks to meet that need. That's good. She may think that others would not be able to go along. She may think that others can't get along without her, though. In fact, sometimes folks like this kind of hope they can't, because their self-worth is tied up in what they do. I'm not saying everybody's like that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that can be an issue if we're not careful. She may think she's the one that keeps everything working. She may get her self-worth by being the necessary one. Well, the fact is, we're all important. We're all necessary. And maybe, there's nothing, again, in any kind of group, you're going to have a lot of different people. To be that kind of person is not necessarily wrong. Okay? It's not wrong. God gives us different kinds of personalities. And we don't need everybody to be a leader, but then we need somebody to lead so we don't have all followers. So, you see what I'm saying? It's all important. She may get her self-worth by being the necessary one. She may not really want, sometimes she may not want anybody to help, but still complains about not having enough help to draw attention to the fact that she's doing all the work. I worked with a guy some years ago, and I was his assistant. He wouldn't let me help him do anything. He just wouldn't let me help him do anything. And he'd be there all hours. And the fact is, he'd be complaining because he was doing all the work. And I'd offer, and I'd say, well, I'll do this for you. No, that's all right, I got it. Well, okay, tell you what. I can run sound. I've done that before. I can run sound. You've got a dinner you're supposed to go to, and you've got two nights in a row. You pick one, which one you want. I'll do the other one. Because our Sunday school classes were always having something or other, and they went in the PA system. And so the music guy was the PA system. And so, you know, somebody had to go. No. You couldn't help him. And sometimes that's the issue. She most likely saw herself, I hate to say this, as one of the most, if not the most important person present at this event next to Jesus. She may even think that she's getting more done than Jesus is, who's just sitting there. I'm making some indictments here, but I think you're going to see some things. She may think that she is important because she's the one who's caring for the important person. Now, I say, well, why are you making these indictments? Because I know how sin sneaks into our hearts. And I've been in the ministry for 30 years, and it's sometimes it's there. Letter B, maybe she serves because no one else is willing to serve. Maybe. And thank God for these people who fill up the holes. I'm so grateful. There's how many times, you know, get ready to get down to the big day and somebody can or somebody decided not to, whatever it is, and somebody steps up and says, I'll do it. Thankful for that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's good. Our passage really doesn't seem to suggest that. It is still the most important thing in Martha's life to know Jesus herself, not necessarily to the serving. Hang tight with me. Let her see. Maybe she's more concerned with the temporary things and the niceties than with the real opportunity of having Jesus in her house. Nothing wrong with making things nice. Nothing wrong with getting out the good china and the good silver and serving the Lord. But it could be that if we're not careful, the temporary things, let her see, the temporary things become the focus. And we miss the fact that Jesus showed up. Now see, we're having a big day coming up here toward the end of September. And I want things to be nice and I want some things happening. But the fact is, the most important thing is we want Jesus to show up. Now, I'm all for all the little things and the lunch and all those things need to be tended to. It'd be good to have lots of folks serving and tend to without, so it's really not a problem for anybody. But we're not careful. Sometimes we get so busy, cumbered about with so many things, that we walk right past Jesus and we miss it. I think, letter D, that she has lost the balance. She's lost the balance. Now, there really are needs that should be tended to because Jesus is in the house. And when he's there, there's always a crowd. On the other hand, what value is it to have Jesus in the house if we do not pay attention to Jesus and take advantage of his teaching while he's there? We live in a society where we've almost learned that programs is what makes, well, it's almost like lots of programs and lots of thrills and spills means the Holy Spirit showed up. And that's not necessarily true. In fact, if we're not careful, it's become a distraction to the work of God. I'm not against having, we do things all the time. I understand. I've had people say, well, you got a very busy church. You got stuff going on all the time. We do. But the most important part is Jesus showing up. I was telling somebody the other day, we have a little saying, a little slogan with our church. It says, Lighthouse Baptist Church, a home for you, a light to the world. I like that thought. That's what a lighthouse is. It's a home for the light keeper, but it's a light to the world. And that's our little slogan. But I've been toying with using another one, and that is Lighthouse Baptist, where the Bible is the main event. Because that's what I want it to be. I want the Bible to be the main event in what we do here. Number two, we may serve the Savior best, ready, by sitting. Now, you're going to think I'm trying to talk folks out of service. What's the matter? Trying to hold folks back? No, I'm not trying to hold folks back. I'm trying to make sure that we don't abuse you to the point where you're so busy and so cumbered about with many things, that you do not have the time. Now, wait a minute. You know, some say, well, I'm going to sleep in on Sunday because that's the only day I have. That's the only day I have. No, you don't have that day. That's the Lord's day. Do that some other day. Well, that's the only day we have family time. Family time, do it on Saturday night. Well, I work. Well, change something. Or that's my bowling night. Can't do it on Saturday. That's my bowling night. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, priorities. Priorities. Look what it says here in verse 39, underneath number 2. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, it indicates that she spent time humbling herself, listening to the words of Jesus, as well as serving and helping care for the guests. See, it says she sits also at his feet, also including who? That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about what she was doing. Martha was cumbered about much serving. She was serving. Mary was there, and she was serving, but she was also spending time at Jesus' feet. Key word there is also. She sat at Jesus' feet. She humbled herself. She spent time with him and heard his word. She was giving audience to what Jesus was saying. Now, she wasn't just sitting, she was also sitting. She was working and she was sitting. Listen, we can sit and serve. It doesn't say that Martha was also sitting at Jesus' feet. The also refers to Mary serving, but also taking time to sit at his feet. Now, how can we truly serve Jesus in our flesh? How can we not be serving in our flesh if we have not learned of him and all we have is the wisdom of the natural man? Let me explain this, what I'm trying to say here. We want to serve the Lord, but we're going to serve best when we've spent time with him. Because you see, if we think we can serve without spending time with him, then what we're saying is I can do it without him. And so all of a sudden, we're accomplishing something that is a product of the flesh and not a product of the Spirit that's yielded to the Holy Spirit. You see what I'm saying? Now, we're going to see something here in a little bit. When we work in the flesh, rather than spending time with him, but we're doing it all ourselves, after a while, we get an attitude. Well, why are we getting an attitude? By the way, the attitude comes from the flesh, doesn't come from the Spirit. Well, in the Spirit, we were serving, but now we got an attitude. Wait a minute here. If we got an attitude, like she's going to show up here in a little bit here, my guess is she's not necessarily serving totally in the Spirit. She's serving a little bit in the flesh. The flesh has gotten in here, and her sister and Jesus are getting in the way. I can almost see here. You know when they sit at a table to eat, they would lean on one side because the table was down low, and their feet would be out behind them. And I could see her bringing stuff in and having to step over Mary's feet and Jesus' feet while she's thinking every time she does that, why isn't Mary helping me instead of getting in my way? Can you see it? All Mary had to do was say, Martha, could I have one of those cups? What do you mean you're going to have one of the cups? Get it yourself and get one for him and him and him too. You see what I'm saying? But Mary was listening to the Word of God. Let her see. The work we are to do is believing. Now, if we believe, I believe that knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I think if we believe, the love constrains us to serve others. If we believe, we're going to want to serve. But we're going to serve out a heart of appreciation and love for the one who died for our soul. Not to stand there and tell everybody how much we did. John 6:27, Jesus says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. That's what it's all about. Whether you're serving or whether you're sitting, it's about believing on him. Now, wait a minute. At the end of our passage here, you know what Jesus says? He says, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Well, he says here, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life shall not be taken away from her. There's some things that we need to be working for, which is faith in him. That's what we're looking for. Letter D. And faith cometh by hearing. So we're supposed to be serving. How are we going to serve? The work we're supposed to do is believe. And how do you believe? By hearing the word of God. Now, there's time for sitting. There's time for serving. Balance. Balance, balance, balance. Now, it could be that we really aren't serving too much. We're just not sitting enough. You know? I'm so glad and so thankful for people who serve here. But I've seen a little bit here, and I've seen it elsewhere a lot more, but I've seen it. Well, people, the only time they come is when they're on schedule to serve. Well, if they have time to come to serve once a month or whatever it is, once every other week or whatever it is, then they have time to come to church. Because you see, you got to balance the sitting and the serving. Because I tell you what's going to happen, this is going to happen. What Martha's about to do is what happens. You know, I never had a chance to sit down. Well, we didn't come when it was time to sit. You were scheduled to sit, but you didn't come when it was your turn to sit. I've also seen folks who schedule themselves outside of it, I hate to say it, I don't want to be making indictments here, but I know it's the truth, where they feel good about themselves because they're serving, and they don't have to hear the word of God, which may convict them. I'm just being real with you. We got to be careful with this. So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Number three, some serve without getting to know the Lord. This is kind of what I just talked about. Some serve without really getting to know the Lord. I have been accused of holding people back. I have been accused of that. And then later down the road, I find that there's an issue and that person wasn't ready for a position they wanted to be in. And it's a good thing I held them back because they would have done more damage. I'm all for folks getting involved. You know, one of the things that's really good for people, young Christians, new folks to the church, you know, if a lady wanted to take her turn once a month in the nursery, that's okay. The speaker's still back there, but of course you can't hear with all the crying babies. But, you know, if someone's coming on a regular basis and there's once a month is not so bad. That's why it's a good reason, if you're new, come sing in the choir. Even if you just got to sing, you know, so they can't hear you. I don't know, but come sing in the choir. You can serve, but you still get to hear the preaching. You're still growing. You know, there's some things we can do. We can mow the lawn, but we still get to be able to be here for church for the preaching. You know, now there's going to come a time when you know, you're ready and you're feeding yourself and you know what? I'm not sitting underneath preaching all the time, but I'm sitting underneath my preaching. But I tell you what, by the time I get done studying, he's got me. You know, I know what I'm saying because he's already convicted me of all kinds of things, or at least reminded me of things where I've been and so forth and so on. He's already convicted my heart. And so there's folks who are out and they're teaching week after week after week. But it's even then should be at least, at the very least, one service that they're in every week. At least, because we all need it. We all need it. We need to serve. So he says here, some serve without getting to know the Lord. Verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. That word cumbered means drawn out, dragging through, dragging around, distracted with. She's just, oh my God, I got this. She was trying to juggle all these different jobs, trying to do all these different things. Her attention was so much on that, there was no way in the world she could have been listening to what Jesus was saying. Now you got Mary, she's doing some things too, but then she sits down and listens a little bit, you know, catch what she can, and she serves a little bit, and she's going to catch some more. And Martha's come about with much serving. And says, and she came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Now this is what she's saying. Are you not concerned, or have you not noticed that I'm the only one doing anything around here? Did you notice that? I'm the only one doing anything around here. And that my sister hath left me. She's abandoned me. She's forsaken me. She's let me down. She made me serve alone. It's just little old me. Watch this. Bid her, therefore, that she help me. She said, now Jesus, speak to her. Command her to get off her backside and help me. And she says, therefore, that she help me. You know I'm right, Lord, so tell her so. Watch letter B. Martha was busy serving the Lord. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But Though she was in the same general vicinity as the Savior, she was still not, here's the word, with the Savior. Balance, balance, balance. Let her see. We need to be busy knowing the Lord. She was busy serving, and I'm sure he appreciated it. He didn't say, well, your problem. He appreciated it. And says, you've done some good things, but you know what? There's one thing needful. I mean, there's some things that are great if we can have them. But if we can't have that and also know the Lord, well, then we want to need the Lord. There's one thing needful, and Mary hath chosen that one thing. The service was actually distracting Martha from the real purpose of the day. There is a time to serve, and there is a time to learn. Martha most likely thought she was the better person because she was doing the serving. And I think some folks believe that serving God is what he wants. And he does want us to serve. But the Lord wants our heart more than our food. On the other hand, the more we know the Lord, the more we will serve. But not to the point of neglecting the Lord. Balance. Letter E. She has not been around the Lord and thus is not learning of the Lord, and now her flesh is showing. You know, you can only serve so long before your flesh starts to serve. I mean, without spending time with him, before your flesh starts to show up. Martha's actually telling Jesus what to do. Martha's giving out the commands and doing so even to Jesus. She's telling God what he should be doing. And you know what? I've seen it. I've seen folks who, and they're serving, they're good, and they're, but after a while, if you're not careful, it gets more than you can handle, and you're spending so much time serving that you don't have time to hear. Now, there's a lot of folks around here who serve a lot and hear a lot. Amen. I'm not arguing about that. But it gets to the point sometimes when we're serving so much that we're not hearing, that we just, and after a while, we start looking at what we're doing and what people are not doing, and this and that, and this is when this person making life more difficult for me, this and that, and we almost get mad at God. What are you doing to me? God, I've been serving with you all this time. Tell these people to help me. I mean, you can't get along without me, so tell them. You see what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying everybody who serves got that mentality. We don't. I'm saying we got to make sure we don't get there. Balance. Balance. Number four. What are you working hard at? Some people think they know what everyone else should be doing. And some think their calling must be everyone else's calling. But that's not true either. There are certain ministries. I met a guy a couple years ago, and he's got a passion for Jewish people. And he read in the Bible where it says to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Well, he is, and that's true. And by the way, that's already happened. It went to the Jew first. And Paul said, listen, they're not listening. Well, we'll take it to the Gentile too. But let's not drop the Jews. God didn't drop the Jews, but we're going to the Gentiles. Well, this guy came up to me, and he was kind of reprimanding me because I'm one of those preachers who have missionaries, and we don't have one missionary to the Jews. Well, you're not right with God because it's supposed to be the Jew first. You haven't gone to the Jew first. You ought to get rid of the rest of them. If you can't afford a missionary to the Jews, then you can't afford the rest of them because that goes to the Jew first and also to... It's funny how people will think their calling is what your calling is supposed to be. There's a ministry that just God has put it on your heart and you just eat and sleep that ministry all day long. Good. And there may be others who want to get on board with you. Chances are there... But you may not find anybody who's as sold out on that ministry as you are. But there'll be something who'll come along. But then you're going to find somebody else who's involved with something else. You feel, well, wait a minute, this is the most important part right here. What are you doing over there? Now, Martha, be honest with you, she kind of got to the point where, Mary, we're here to serve today, so get up and help me here. Jesus, tell her to help me. He said, Martha. Look at 41. And Jesus, answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. Basically said, boss lady, boss lady. Because that's what it meant, the mistress of the house, the head woman, the head lady, who's running the house, is boss lady, boss lady. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. You're anxious, you're distracted, you're troubled, you're disturbed, and you've crowded your life. It gives the idea of being crowded about many things, about an abundance of stuff. And again, let me say, I've seen more ministries all the time, but it used to be just kind of the mainline denominations that were too busy having bake sales and doing this and doing that, and busy about doing it. Nobody had gotten saved. There was no reason to get anybody baptized for the last 15 years, you know, because we're just busy doing stuff. Cumbered about much things, but no one's getting to know Jesus. And we got to be careful we don't do the same thing, even in the side of a good, independent, fundamental Baptist church. We can get busy with stuff. It's a warning here. He says, but one thing is needful. There's one thing. One thing it should be our main attention that we should be working to have. There's one thing. And Mary hath chosen that good part, that portion that is of real benefit, which shall not be taken away from her. You know what he's saying? The meal will be over, and we will move on and eat at another house at another time. But what the Lord is serving up right now is everlasting food, the bread of life, the living water, so that we will never thirst again like the woman at the well, and we're missing it because we want to have tea and crumpets. Don't feed me a scone. I don't like scones. They don't taste like anything. We're so busy about having some kind of fancy little finger food and food and all this stuff and make sure. There's nothing wrong with doing as nice as you can. But if we can't do that and spend time with Jesus, then there's one thing needful. It's the Jesus thing. Letter B, we can work hard and not be serving the Lord. But I'm helping others. That's real nice. But you would be of more value to others if you knew the Lord better. Again, we all need to work. And the thing is, there's some people who do all the work, and a lot of us will just let them. We all ought to be serving a little bit, here and there, whatever's reasonable. Number five, the hardest worker may not be the most mature Christian. Yet a mature Christian will most likely be a serving Christian doing what they can. The hardest worker may not be the most mature Christian. Number six, a balanced ministry pivots on one thing needful. Everything rests. It pivots right here. Letter A, a balanced ministry must balance on knowing God. If it doesn't bring us to a more fuller knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, it has not accomplished anything. We've wasted our time. Now listen, they were sitting down and have a meal. I had someone I was talking to the other day, and I said something, I was inviting them to our day, and I said, we're going to have a build your own burger buffet. He says, I love Baptists. They're always eating. And that's fine, but it's part of the fellowship, I understand. But the whole point here is the preaching time. Now, encourage them around the table. They did that all the time. That was all part of it. John 17:3 says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. If we get saved so that we can go into the presence of God, we get saved so we can go into the presence of God and know him. How crazy is it to get saved and then spend very little time getting to know God? I mean, that's why we get saved. We think to avoid hell. That's actually a good thing. The point is that we get saved so we can go into the presence of God. If we don't get saved, we don't get to go into the presence of God. So where do we go? Where God is not. It wasn't designed to be a punishment. It's just what's left over.
You know, the kid spills their drink, and you tell them, okay, help me clean it up. Oh, man, it's not my, I'm not punishing you. That's just part of the job. This is what happens when you spill your milk. And this is what happens when we sin and don't receive. We're not condemned for what we've done. We're condemned already because we have not believed on the only begotten Son of God. That's what sends us to hell, our refusal to take His grace because we think we're too big for our britches. Getting to know God is never a waste of time. And I know I've quoted this verse so many times, but 2 Peter 1, add to your faith. All diligence. Number 7, a balanced ministry sits at the Savior's feet. A balanced ministry sits at the Savior's feet. Letter A, our time with Jesus is our first priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. How can we expect to serve God without knowing God? Well, I know who He is. I'm saved. Is there a light to shine? The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Is your light shining? Or is it so clouded amongst all the stuff of the world is still on you? I mean, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. We've heard it so many times. It should be shining like a bright light. When you walk into a room someplace, I'm not saying you're supposed to go around and put on the dog. There's some people, listen, there's some people that are very quiet. You ain't walking around, but you can just tell. You can tell they're Christian before you ever meet them. You see them across the room. They go, I know that guy. I don't have any idea what his name is. Don't know where he came from. I know him. I can tell. He's my brother. She's my sister. You can see that. That's going to have a whole lot more impact than a grumpy old guy says, oh, by the way, come over here. Let me show you how you can get out of hell. Now, I don't have a whole lot of time. Number one. Number two. Number three. All right, bow your head. All right, you prayed? All right, I can count that when I get back to the report there. We can serve the Lord a whole lot better if we know Him. This is not a cop-out. Not a cop-out. What we are saying is that we can do the work of the Lord's ministry without the Lord and a close relationship with Him. Well, we're not spending time with Him. Number 8. I said that a balanced ministry sits at the Savior's feet, number 7. Number 8, a balanced ministry serves at the Savior's feet. Serving with a constant recognition, knowing the presence of the Savior, sitting at His feet. Worshiping Him because you know Him. And by the way, we can do a whole lot more with a whole lot less of us if we have a whole lot more of Him. Number 9. Real quick, coming down the end here. Results of an unbalanced ministry. Results of an unbalanced ministry. By the way, there's a couple places where there wasn't a blank. I don't understand, but my computer wouldn't do that one. I never seen anything like it in my life. It was this crazy thing, getting ready to put all this together. Next one down, it would do it. Then it wouldn't do one. So that if the line's missing, that's what's going on. Computer was acting crazy. Results of an unbalanced ministry. Letter A, burnout. Burnout. I can't keep doing this. This is true, especially since you're doing it in your own strength. Burnout is not really, I'm going to be honest with you, it could happen to any of us. But the actual fact is, if we're serving in a balanced ministry in the power of the Spirit, it shouldn't happen. Because the power of the Spirit isn't going to push you more than your flesh can take. By the way, in the tabernacle, there was lights and there was oil. And the oil was to be constantly filled so the light never goes out. Now, the fact is, the wick only holds the oil. It's the oil that burns. When we run out of oil, I had a little kerosene lamp. And I remember one time, we didn't use it all the time, so the kerosene was in there, and so we just kept lighting it. Well, every couple of years, it kind of dries up. And I lit that thing, and sparks are flying, this and that and the other thing. I said, "Dad, what's wrong with this thing?" He says, "You don't have any kerosene in it. It's burning the wick, not burning the oil, the coal oil, he's called it, but the kerosene. It's burning the wick. You're not going to have anything long. The wick's going to be gone. Because it's sparking, and I keep turning up. It's going out. Well, I'm using up the wick." And that's what we'll do if we're not careful. If we don't have a balanced ministry, we will burn up the wick instead of lighting the oil. All we're supposed to do is hold the oil and let it burn. We'll burn out. Let it be. Oh, I'm going to go back here. Burnout. I can't keep doing this. Let it be. Pride. I'm the only one doing anything around here. I'm doing the best job around here, and I'm the only one. Why are you picking on me? Not picking on you. I don't want your wick to burn out. But pride shows up. Jesus, have you noticed that Mary's not doing a thing around here to help me? I'm doing all the work. Would you tell her to get up and help me work? You know what she was so proud about? I mean, she was so proud. She's yelling at Jesus. I mean, think about it. We get upset with God because we're the only one doing anything. Well, maybe we should just spend more time with Him. Maybe we wouldn't have to spend as many hours doing it if we spent more hours with Him. Letter C, resentment. Resentment. We start resenting others. We start resenting the ministry. We start resenting Jesus. Number one, there, Martha was upset with Mary because she was not helping. She wanted to boss Mary around. Number two, Martha was upset with Jesus because He didn't make Mary help. Martha was bossing around Jesus. Martha had decided that the serving was the most important and was angry at Jesus for not doing something about it because she assumed that Jesus thought the filling of the flesh was more important than the filling of the soul and the spirit. I'm in this all alone. And others have deserted me, and it's not fair. Something needs to be done, and I'm the only one doing it. Resentment. But burnout and pride and resentment is really all a result of the flesh. I'm not saying back down out of your ministry. Now, it could be you do have more than you can spiritually handle right now. It could be. But maybe, really the thing is that, you know, just as some folks will say, well, I'm just so tired from living life, I need to sleep in the morning. Well, maybe you're so tired from living life because you're doing it on your own. Instead of getting away from Him, maybe what we need to do is run to Him. Well, I'm so busy in the ministry, I don't have time for the Lord. Well, maybe if we spent more time for the Lord, it wouldn't take so much time in the ministry. Or maybe we will have the insight that there's some things that we are just extraneous activities that could be eliminated. I'll be honest with you. I hope I'm not, but I try not to be guilty of this. But we can get so busy in a church like this that we don't have time to spend time with Him. Our society has decided we've got to have so many things going on all the time, and we're so busy, distracted. I love Church of the Open Door down in Westminster, a great place, but there's a couple times in my life where, you know, they say, well, we're a church for the whole family. But I hate to say it, but what happened was, I'm not trying to badmouth anyway, and they've changed some of this. But what it meant was the men were out on Monday, and the ladies were out on Tuesday, and the kids had something going on Wednesday, and then the teens had something on Friday. And it had something going for everybody. But all at different times, they were never all together. Family needs time. Well, getting the Word of God, well, that's good. I hate to say this, and people don't like this either. What about discipleship? Well, Sunday morning at 9:30, we're all going to get together here and have Sunday school. We're going to get in the Bible. We're going to teach you right straight out of the Bible. Then Sunday morning at 10:30, we're going to get out here. We're going to try to, you know, put a little bit of poking in there and kind of get you fired up to go out and do something. And then we're going to come back at 6 o'clock on Sunday, because everybody, you know, that's the Lord's Day, so everybody has off on Sunday. So we'll just take Sunday and do that. And then in the middle of the week on Wednesday, you know, we all could use a good booster shot, so we're going to get together on Wednesday night about 7 o'clock. We're going to come in here, we're going to sing a couple of hymns, we're going to get the Bible out, and we're going to learn how it applies to us right there. That's what we're going to do. We're going to get right there and study and pick a few parts and find a few definitions and put it all together. And then on Friday night, you've got something that's just kind of bugging you, you know, you just can't quite shake. We've got folks who are going to come in, they're going to open up the Bible on Friday night. But you know what people say? Well, but no, I can't do any of those. But how about Tuesday? Well, how about Thursday? Well, I know it's your day off, but can't you do it Thursday, Pastor? I'm not being mean here. I'm saying we are. Sit at His feet. And you'd be surprised what God will do. It's because we're cumbered about with many things and have not chosen the needful. Father, again, thank You for speaking to us. Lord, I love these folks. You know I do. And Lord, we need the servants. We know I do. You know we know. I know we do. You know we do. But Lord, we also got to remember, we got to keep a balance in our ministry. Balance, balance, balance. And You've got to be the priority. Got to be the priority. Lord, speak to us. Thank You for what You're doing in our hearts. Heads are bowed.